Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast.
This is Lauren.
This is Naz.
And we're obviously across the world from each other.
I thought you were going to say something. Ashley says waving.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, today we have a topic that's really funny because Courtney, you know, who does a lot of the booking for us, she said that the ultimate I don't get it for her is that she's gotten more emails about girls experiencing this topic than any other topic before. And the topic is, I didn't know I was pregnant until I was giving birth.
I can't believe there's multiple, like, at least, I can't believe we got one or two stories, but we got so many.
She was like, kept messaging me. She's like, "Can you please put down the promo? We have too many stories already."
I can't.
She's like, "You already have
fun." Sorry, I was going to say, this is actually insane because I was in a sorority with a girl that had a baby, even though she was on birth control. It like didn't work, and that freaked me out. And then I was like, okay, it's possible.
Oh, so that is like the one thing you Google: can you get pregnant when you're on birth control? And she,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and she was at 1%.
No, it's way. It's like more than 1%. It's like shocking. It's like, I think the pill is like, I don't know, whatever. But it's not like super rare. I mean, it's rare, but it's not like crazy.
Yeah, but the fact that Courtney said that we got so many emails—that's crazy. Kind of freaks me out. This is definitely 100% possible.
Just never.
But I guess we'll decide after we hear everyone's story.
It's not, you guys. I think you're missing. I think what I'm trying to say is you're totally missing the point. Getting pregnant off birth control is something like we kind of all know.
But being
what
like
we don't know is being
pregnant.
9 months pregnant and you didn't figure it out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. Okay. I didn't really say that clearly. Yes.
All right. So we're gonna get callers and then we'll have some that we'll read.
Okay, great.
Let's
go. Let's give her a call and find out how she gave birth without knowing.
All right, Mayette. Well,
hi.
It's a pleasure to get you on the phone. Happy birthday to your baby that was born almost a year to the date, March 28th, 2019.
Yeah.
Tell us your entire story, what you thought was going on with your body and what actually was.
Okay, so I have stage 3 endometriosis.
So Naz has endometriosis.
Yay, endo sister.
Yes. And a lot of times,
intense.
Yeah, it's not fun. A lot of times, like, doctors tell you, you're not going to be able to get pregnant on your own. So me and my husband just assumed that was going to be the case. And so, you know, I'm married. Have no protected sex. And I guess I got pregnant and I was still having my period. Everything was normal because that's another thing that can happen with endo is your endometrium can continue to slough even when you are pregnant. And we found out later my uterus is tilted.
Mm.
So there wasn't a lot of movement that I could feel or anything like that, but I was like not really gaining weight. I get morning sickness pretty regularly because of the endo. And so I just really didn't think anything was wrong. I was going to the doctor like
when
normal.
When you say you get morning sickness, you mean like you get nauseous often?
Yeah, I get nauseous pretty often.
Okay.
So the morning sickness was nothing that I was unused to.
Uh-huh.
And so I was going to the doctor like normal. I had like an inkling that maybe I was pregnant, but I took multiple pregnancy tests and they were coming back negative.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Which ones? What brands? So I know not to buy them.
No, I feel like it's like the endo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your hormones are off.
Yeah, it can produce, cause you to produce lower of the human growth hormone that's detectable.
Ah.
It also can, because of the scarring on your uterus, can make it so ultrasounds don't see anything.
Mm, this is tricky.
Yeah.
And,
oh, fuck.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I think having a child is miraculous in the fact, I mean, I'll let you finish your story, but the fact that you had one makes me so, so happy.
Yeah, it was really exciting. So I started like bloating a little bit, but it was in like month 8.
Hmm.
Wow.
And so I went to the doctor and they're like, oh yeah, you have a candida overgrowth, which is just like when the like antibodies in your gut are wrong.
Hmm. Wait and a second.
So yeast, right?
They didn't do any blood tests?
Yeah.
I had a blood pregnancy test.
Shut up. What?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is very understandable how you thought you were not pregnant for so long.
Yeah, I also had an ultrasound.
At what month did you have an ultrasound?
Yeah, and what came up in the ultrasound? I guess because of the scarring of the uterus, you can't
see. And the tilted position, and they weren't looking for a baby. They were just going to check the scarring to see if I needed surgery.
So,
but wait, I'm sorry. What month was it?
My ultrasound was in January.
No. Oh, and you had the baby in March.
Yeah.
And you were actually 9 months in March.
Yes,
so
about that.
So a 7-month ultrasound did not show a child.
Yeah.
What in the
That's
world?
That's wild. Okay, I wonder if all the other women we're going to talk to also have endo, because this is crazy. I have a question. How did you know you have endo? Because it's really hard to find out.
So when I was about 15, I was getting really, really sick on my periods, and I was like losing a lot of weight and stuff. And my mom didn't believe that anything was wrong, but my dad took me to the doctor anyways.
And they
were like, yeah, it sounds like you have endometriosis. We're going to put you on birth control because that can help sometimes. And then when I was 20, I actually went in and got an endoscopy.
What's an endoscopy?
It's like a non-invasive surgery. That checks the tissue in your abdomen.
Okay.
Yeah.
They only found mine when I got fibroid surgery. So it wasn't until they opened me up that he was like, oh, we see it inside of you. So it's like, I just feel like it all plays into like how you can have a kid and have no idea.
So what happened when you started going to labor?
So I was working at a clothing store as a manager, and I like woke up in the morning and I thought I was on my period because I was just getting a little bit of cramping, and I was like, okay, whatever. So I went to work and it like kept getting worse, and I was like, okay, this is fine. Sometimes my periods are so bad that I just have to like take a day and go home. So I sent myself home and I texted my husband and I told him what was going on, and then I got a fever.
Hmm.
And so I called my doctor and I was like, hey, these are my symptoms. What do you think is happening? She was like, oh, it sounds like you might have appendicitis. Like, you need to go to the ER now.
Okay.
And so my husband came home from work. We took me to the ER, and when they came in to do the ultrasound to check for appendicitis, because of how big she was, they found a heartbeat.
Oh, they found a heartbeat.
No way.
What was your reaction?
Well, my husband was like not with me. He was in the waiting room at the ER. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, I'm pregnant. That's fine. I can work with that.
You didn't think it was happening like that moment, right?
Yeah. And then they were like, yeah, it looks like you might be in labor, but we can't tell you really anything more than that. Do you have anybody who's here with you? So they went and got my husband, and I'm like crying at this point because like, we don't have any baby stuff. Like, what's going on? Is the baby healthy? All these questions are going through my head, and my husband like thinks that I've like got pregnant and then was miscarrying, and that was what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really emotional, and they like rushed us up to the emergency OB wing, where they like did the full ultrasound and tried to like measure her out and go in and all those. But because of how far back my uterus is tilted and the way that she was seated, they couldn't like, all they could figure out is basically like she had a heartbeat and she looked like she's about the right size. They didn't know if she was a boy or a girl at that point. They didn't know if she had like the right amount of fingers and toes. Yeah, so that was really, that part was really, really scary.
So, C-section immediately?
No.
You're like, yeah. No, I pushed.
They were like, okay, how do you want to do this? Like, do you want the epidural? And I was like, yes, give me the epidural. Like, I was not planned for this. So I got the epidural and I was in labor in total for 36 hours.
Holy
wow.
fuck.
Jesus Christ.
How many pounds is she?
She was 7 pounds, 8 ounces.
Perfect.
Just sitting in your body.
Yeah. She was like so like far back and in my hips that when she would move and stuff, it literally just felt like I was having indigestion.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was like, you never felt a kick? So it felt like
cramping. Yeah. She was like stuck.
And she was totally healthy?
Yeah. She was totally healthy. She had a little bit of like lung problems. Just because it happens to babies sometimes, I guess. But
so were you doing anything during your pregnancy that would have caused it to have like an unhappy outcome? Like, were you drinking or smoking or anything?
So I was like smoking weed every day. So I'm really worried about that.
Okay.
I was really, really scared about that. They asked me as soon as we got in there, they're like, do you drink? Do you do any drugs? And when I told them that, they're like, yeah, actually that doesn't really do anything.
I was going to say, it's probably way better than anything else.
Better than alcohol, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like,
I just got back from Burning Man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, question, oh my God.
Did they explain, like, why you still get your period?
Yeah, so because of the endometriosis, sometimes the uterus can continue to slough.
So are you getting regular periods, or are you just getting spotting throughout?
Right.
I was getting, like, pretty regular periods. They weren't as heavy as they usually were, but I also thought, like, maybe birth control is finally doing its job.
Wait, so were you on birth control?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Oh, and she was on birth control.
What a miracle child. Did
she really wanted to come. She was like,
that's great.
I'm coming, Mom. Don't worry.
This makes me like so happy.
She like defied the laws of science.
she did. She wanted to be born.
What's her name?
Her name is Juniper.
Juniper.
God, that's adorable.
Thank you.
I feel like your body, you know how your body goes through massive hormone changes while you're pregnant. Did you feel emotionally different like throughout those 9 months?
Yes. I felt like I wanted to be in my house more. I didn't want to like go out and do stuff with our friends. But I also thought that was just like I had a new job. I was stressed from work. I was always tired. I think that was the biggest thing that I'll notice because it can happen again.
This is
the biggest thing that like I'll notice next time is I had no energy.
No.
Like, when I got home from work, I was like, it's fine. You can play video games all night. I'm going to sleep.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. As you saw in that group message, there's a shocking number of women who wrote in and that we're going to get on the phone to see how your story compares to theirs. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. We have been hearing that so many of you guys have been meeting their partner on OkCupid these days. And that's because it actually works, and it's the most mentioned dating app in the New York Times wedding section. And it's also because OkCupid asks the most thoughtful questions so that it can get to know you and what type of person that you're looking for. And some of these questions are like, do you find intelligence sexier than looks? How long do you want your next relationship to last? I think that's a bizarre question, but maybe some of you want a not so long relationship. And are you a cat person or a dog person? Very important question. Do you listen to podcasts? And how do you feel about coffee dates? So if you agree on those with someone else, they'll match you with them and a million other questions. So OkCupid is the only app in the world that can match you on a range of issues you care about. OkCupid can match you with a dog person or a cat person or on someone who cares about climate change just like you. So stop the mindless time on dating apps and go to an app where you choose what matters. OkCupid is free, so we don't have to give you one of those long URLs with a code. So just download OkCupid today and go on a great date this week. And then tell us all about the great person you met and we'll come to the wedding. So that's OkCupid and you'll find the spouse you have been waiting for.
All right, so now we have Vanessa on the phone. And Vanessa, you, to be honest, you were the one that inspired me to do this podcast because you posted a picture on our Facebook group of you seven, eight months pregnant on the beach and your stomach was flat as a surfboard. And I was like, what in the world? That would be the most amazing podcast.
Holy shit.
Are you looking at the picture right now?
Yes.
Oh, wait, and then... that might have been a different day, but probably 8 months pregnant in that picture.
We'll have to post this to the message board. Absolutely. Again. So tell us your whole story. And just start from the beginning.
Okay. Start from the beginning. Okay. So my
but like also take 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Okay. Got it. I've told this story so many times I could get it in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So my husband and I met during our undergrad, and then we moved to California after we graduated. And he was going to seminary in Pasadena. And one of the key parts of our story to remember is we did not have a car when we lived there. And so we commuted everywhere by bike.
Oh.
So it's December of 2012. And we were missing like the snow and the coldness of where we're used to living. And so we went to a shopping center in Glendale. I don't remember what it's called. I think Americana or Americana.
Yeah, Americana is great.
The dankest place on earth.
So that was 10 miles from our apartment. And so we biked there. We like walked around and there's like fake snow, which we thought was so funny. And then we biked home. So 20 miles total. We go to bed that night. I wake up the next morning and my back was hurting and nothing like excruciating, but enough to be uncomfortable.
It was a lower back or where? Where in your back?
Yes, lower back. Yeah. But I really just thought it was from biking, like the long bike ride. So we go throughout our day. He goes to work. I go to work. We were going to go on a date that night. And I called him and I said, you know, I just don't feel good. I think we should just stay home tonight. And so he went and picked up dinner, brings it home. We just hung out or whatever. We go to bed. The next morning I wake up and it's a little bit better. And so I really just thought, okay, that was weird. It's over.
Right.
But then it comes back. We go to bed. The next day I wake up and it's like, it's bad. It's really painful. He's telling me like, let's go to the hospital. And I said, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. You know, because we are like 3,000 miles from our families. I don't want to go somewhere that I'm not, you know, comfortable going. I don't have a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll go away.
Right.
So this
every is. Every millennial response.
Right. Yes. So this is the 11th. I had a friend and she said, I have some muscle relaxers. Do you want to try it?
Oh, no.
Which I don't recommend like taking prescription drugs from other people, but I was so desperate because I was in so much pain. I said, yes, I'll try it. So I took it and it did not even touch the pain. And Tyler's still like, let's go to the hospital. And I'm saying, no, I don't want to go to the hospital. If I could just like go to sleep, if I could get some rest, then I think I would be fine. So he's like, okay. So he goes to bed. I try to go to bed. I cannot sleep. So I'm like pacing our apartment, taking really hot showers because that's the only way I could get any kind of relief.
Oh my God.
And so our friend lived below us and he said, if you need a car, like to get to the hospital, call me, I'll take you. I said, okay, I'm going to go to bed. It'll be fine. Well, then I wake up or I didn't wake up. I woke Tyler up and I said, we have to go to the hospital because I am dying. Something is seriously wrong with me. I thought like my kidneys were exploding or something horrible is happening. So we get in the car. And on the way there, Tyler says, it's funny now. He says, oh, the date's 12-12-12. It's December 12, 2012. He's like, it would be fun to have a birthday on like days that repeat. And I'm like, well, yeah, whatever. Like,
I don't care. As you were going to the hospital.
Right. Which I'm like, I don't care about that because I cannot breathe right now. So we get into the emergency room and I cannot even speak to tell the lady what's wrong with me. So Tyler kind of relays and says, like, she's having back pain. We don't know why. She didn't get hurt. Like, we have no clue what's happening. So she, like, bypasses us through everybody in the waiting room. We get into triage, and they start asking, like, all those questions that they asked you at the beginning. Like, when was your last menstrual cycle? And I said, you know, I've been on birth control since before we got married. I've taken it every day religiously at 10 o'clock. There's no way that I'm pregnant. But it did make my periods, like, irregular mm-hmm. and you know, kind of spotty, nothing.
The
like
birth control made it irregular, or you mean like the birth control kind of made it like so light?
Both. Like it wasn't consistent and it was super light.
Okay.
And so, but I was like,
what that, birth control you were on?
It was, I was on the pill. I don't remember. Okay. I don't remember what the name of it was. But I said that definitely happened within the last month. And so like, remind you, like they can see me. So I'm in leggings and like a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So they can like see my body. They don't, I don't look pregnant. And they weighed me and my weight was normal. So they get us into the doctor's office and the doctor comes in and he's like, okay, what's wrong? And I'm in so much pain. I can't even like speak to him. And he is getting frustrated with me because this I can't tell him.
Did you feel like you were having like, you're dilating?
I mean, I didn't know. I was absolutely contracting for sure because I've had two other kids since then. So
since then. Okay.
Yes. Definitely.
But in that moment, you had no idea.
No clue. Like, no, that's why it was terrifying because I had no idea why I was in so much pain. And so he says, you know, is there any way that you're pregnant? I tell him again, like, no, there's no way. And he said, okay, I want to get like some scans going, but we have to confirm that you're not pregnant just as a precaution. And I said, okay, fine. So I take the pregnancy test. He comes in. He's like, okay, you are pregnant. And we were shocked.
Holy shit.
But still like, okay, like we wanted kids, maybe not like right now because we'd only been married like a year and a half. But like, this is good, but we have some things to figure out. And he says, we're going to get you up to ultrasound to see how far along you are.
Okay.
And then I start to be like, I'm panicked because I know that I should not be in this much pain, like at the beginning of a pregnancy. And so automatically I'm thinking like, miscarriage or, you know, the worst thing. And so the ultrasound guy, he's like doing the thing and he says to me, you really didn't know you were pregnant? And the way I'm facing, like the monitor's like behind me so I can't see anything. And I said, no, why? And he like points to the sign and he says, I can't discuss any results with you because I'm just a technician.
but he had to ask.
Right.
Can I just say I hate when they do that. Cause I'm always, whenever I get a test, I'm like, can you tell me if it's good or bad or whatever? And they're like, no, I'm not allowed. I'm like, but you know,
I know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay. He like gets all the things that he needs and he sends us back down and the doctor comes in like very promptly and says, okay, he's like, you're actually 9 months pregnant. And the fluid around your baby is low. And so you're going to be delivering your baby today. And so I like, it's kind of blurry just because it was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean I'm pregnant? There's no way that I'm pregnant. He said, no, you're definitely pregnant. And so I'm like panicked. Tyler's very calm. He's a very calm person, which I'm very thankful for because I needed him to be calm in that moment.
I need someone.
And I'm just, and so, yeah, I'm just freaking out. And, the nurse says to me, she like grabs my shoulders and she says, you're going to be okay. You're in the best place, you know, possible that you could be right now. You know, you're going to be fine. And so she gets us up to labor and delivery and they check to see, you know, how far along I am or how far dilated I am. And they can already feel hair. and so she says to me, you need to decide right now if you want an epidural, because you're not going to have time, you know, if you like wait.
I mean, like this and very so, moment, like I would say like, once the hair is there, you're like almost past that point.
Right. And so it was like one of those things, like in your mind, you have what you want your birth to be like before you're actually pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not ever going to get an epidural. I'm not going to need one. I got the epidural.
Yeah. Good.
You don't know what that pain feels like until you're like actually going through it. And plus we needed time to figure out, you know, what the heck we were going to do. And we had to call our parents, because they're like back. My parents are in Pennsylvania. His are in Ohio.
Oh my God. I want to know your parents' reaction after this.
And so we called our parents and then we had to think of, you know, how we're going to get diapers and wipes and at least a car seat, you know, just like the basic essentials that we need. And our nurse was incredible. She actually got all that stuff that we needed within like a couple hours. She was in some kind of mom's group and they had everything that we needed delivered to our apartment. They brought us a car seat and some blankets, you know, all the things that we needed, which was so helpful. And so then we had to think of a name. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And we had always said if we had a boy, we wanted to name him Landon because we watched A Walk to Remember. That was our first movie that we watched in college.
Girl, yeah, that's awesome. Come on now, obviously.
Right. And so
Ashley has no words. Yeah.
Speechless. And so just, we didn't have any girl names. And so at this point, it's like, so we went to the hospital around 7 a.m. At this point, it's like 5:30. And it's time to start pushing. And I think I pushed for about 3 hours before this baby came out. And there were so many doctors in our room because they didn't really know anything about the baby, you know, what, if he was going to be healthy or not. And so there's so many doctors. Eventually, baby comes out, 6 pounds, 13 ounces, 20 inches long, and it's a boy.
It's Landon.
Landon. Yeah, Landon. He was born and he was perfectly healthy, which is, I think looking back now, now that I've had 2 other kids, I'm so grateful because I know everything that could have gone wrong with him not knowing. But yeah, he was perfect. And
that's awesome.
There he was.
And is there a reason why your stomach was so flat? Is it because you biked everywhere?
No, not necessarily. It's just the way like my placenta was positioned and the way he was positioned in there.
Have you been like of normal pregnant size the past 2 pregnancies?
Yeah. So I have a 4-year-old whose name is Torin, and my pregnancy with him was pretty normal. And I definitely like had a belly and I could feel him moving around. And then I had another baby 5 months ago and his pregnancy was pretty textbook and
so
normal.
So you said it was you call it a cryptic pregnancy?
A cryptic?
Oh, somebody called their pregnancy a cryptic pregnancy, which is like when you can't see it.
That's weird.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of it.
So what was their reasoning for why you couldn't see it?
Yeah, what's the reasoning?
I don't know. I don't know if they really had a reason.
What?
Well, so I remember like I was apologizing to the doctors, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're like, I don't know why you're apologizing. Like this happens. But I don't know. I felt guilty and I just felt guilty like, you know, because some women try for years and they never get pregnant, or, you know, they do everything right and their pregnancy ends, you know, and I mean, not that I did anything wrong, but I didn't have to try.
Yeah.
And I had this super easy pregnancy and I had this beautiful, healthy baby. And
well, that's really great.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it make you sort of like, did you ever think in other moments after Landon came that you could be pregnant when you, I feel like that would give me life-term anxiety.
Yes. So Tyler's like, so should we just buy a bunch of pregnancy tests and just take them
every month,
once a month?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, we're not doing that. But it was, I mean, looking back, it was kind of ideal because I didn't have any pregnancy symptoms. I lived my normal life. There's a lot of stress when you know that you're pregnant and I didn't have any of that. I just showed up, had a baby, left.
You never felt kicking? You never felt kicking?
No. So that's also part of like placenta placement. That was the reasoning for that. And I do remember feeling like little gas bubbles, which was probably him moving around.
You just a little gas bubble.
It's funny though, because I say his personality matches how he was in the womb. Like he's so calm and reserved and he's very sweet. And then my other two, like Torin is my outgoing social butterfly.
I feel like the name Torin would make him the badass.
He's pretty great. They're both pretty great, but Torin is, he's something.
You're awesome at picking baby names. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so this one just comes down to placenta placement. That's it. That's all we know. Interesting. Wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much.
All right. And thank you for inspiring this podcast.
And that picture will be on the message boards.
Sure. I know I emailed it, but if you need it again, let me know.
I got it, girl. I'm looking at it right now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. We got Viv on the line. Viv, you also didn't know you were pregnant. You thought you had... and you had abdominal surgery and that confused you. So take us through your story, please.
Yeah. So it started January 2018. I was a flight attendant, just like living my life, having a good time. And I was in Canada end of January and just felt super sick and like didn't know what was going on. And I got back to the US really quickly so that my airline didn't like ground me because I went to hospital in Canada. And I get back to the States and I go into a doctor and she's like, oh my gosh, you need your gallbladder out like yesterday. We need to get this out right now. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I go in, they do a full gallbladder removal surgery, and then it just goes downhill from there. And I just spent months and months so sick, like in and out of the ER, going to naturopaths, like just felt like crap and couldn't figure out why. And I drained my savings account because I turned 26 and like my insurance ended. And I just kept trying to figure out, like vomiting 24/7, like what I thought was a period, like never, like didn't let up the whole time. And it was so crazy. And doctors are like, ah, it's just like surgery complications. Like, you're okay. You have IBS. Like, you're okay. We'll figure it out. I'm like, oh, dang.
They didn't take any blood tests during this entire process?
They did. Oh, okay. They did. They took a lot of blood tests, but the first doctor, the surgeon, forgot to do a check mark on the pregnancy test box. And every doctor after that went off of all her paperwork and they're like, oh, well, she's not pregnant.
Holy shit.
Like, crazy.
That would have answered so many questions. Yeah. You would have saved so much money.
Now, wait a second. Did you really need your gallbladder out or did they think that that was what?
No. You're going to burst our ears.
I'm sorry.
So now, no, they think I probably did not need my gallbladder out. So that's real cute. So I had... now that I had placenta previa. So the placenta grows in front. So it kind of like pushed the baby, Hazel is her name. It like pushed her back and up like behind my ribs. So like I like couldn't breathe. And I'm like a pretty small person. Like I'm like 5'3 and like 110 pounds. And I didn't change. Like literally nothing was different. My boobs got a little bit bigger, but you know, nothing like crazy. And yeah, I bled the whole time because I had a ripped placenta. So like nobody could figure it out.
A ripped placenta.
Why did you have a ripped placenta?
The placenta was pushed up and back, or was the baby pushed? Okay, so that's why. So basically you were half the size of what you should have been.
Yeah,
because it was pushed up.
Okay, I get that.
She was in my ribs basically is what it was, and I had like literally just like chest pains and couldn't breathe for months.
I get Naz, go ahead.
It's okay, because the person that was just on the line with us, it was also due to placenta placement. Yeah. So how does your placenta, like, just do that, and why?
So I have no clue. I have a cousin that had a normal pregnancy, knew about it, and she had the same thing where, like, the placenta is, like, in the front and up and kind of weird. But she showed... But I literally didn't. Like, I was in Vegas in a bikini a month before I had her. And there's, like, pictures of me.
And our last caller, same situation.
So she was like, full term?
Full term, yep. So I had gone for a conference. I lost my job, obviously, because I was too sick to fly. And I had enrolled in grad school and was at a conference for that. And, like, I had gotten back on a Sunday. And then that Monday night right afterwards, I, like, cooked dinner and thought I like cooked the chicken wrong because I felt really sick. And then it went downhill from there.
Okay,
and
girl, I'm gonna stop you here because I know where this story is going because I'm reading your email right now and it's about to climax in a way that I can't even imagine. I can't even get over. But before
it's a whole mood.
Before you get there, you say you bled the entire time. What, did you go to the gyno and you were like, why am I bleeding from my vagina all this time?
Yeah. So it wasn't like crazy bleeding. It was like spotting. And then like once a month-ish, it would get like a little heavier, but it was just kind of like more spotting. And the doctors just kept saying like, you know, you just had a big surgery. Your body's really out of whack. I literally was puking from like sun up till sundown the whole time. Like,
oh my God.
Your gyno didn't pick up on the bleeding plus the throwing up?
No, literally nothing. No.
And they did.
They all thought it was side effects from my
gallbladder
surgery. I didn't have like an exam or anything during that time because, I said, I'd lost my insurance like halfway through it. And it was like right before I was scheduled for everything. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to put my money in focusing on any doctor that can help me figure out my ish. Like I got to feel better. I was 26 at that time. Like, I don't know what to do here. So
the second you had the baby.
No.
Okay. Never mind. I'm going to continue the story.
Okay.
I feel like you should be on Diagnosis on Netflix or like these cases.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, there used to be a show called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. I think it was like on TLC.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now it's on the I Don't Get It. Well,
exactly.
Stay tuned.
When I like the first thing I said, actually, like when I like kind of came to or whatever and everything, I was like, I'm not one of those trashy girls on a TV show. Like, I promise. Like, I'm just like, no, like, you're like, you're cool. But no, Viv, so I got, okay, so I got really sick.
Yeah, you got really sick. You thought you had food poisoning. And then?
And then I was actually all alone. I had moved my folks because of the whole, like, spending all my money on medical bills things. And they were in Hawaii. My younger brother was out of town on a business trip. So I like literally had nobody in my town and I just kept getting sicker and sicker. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in excruciating pain. Like my stomach is sick. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go to bed, try to sleep it off. And it got to the point where blacking out from pain and I didn't know what was going on. And so I called my parents who were in Hawaii and I was like, I think I'm dying. Like, I think that my life is over. Like, sorry for dying while you're on vacation and I'm in your house, but like, I don't know what's happening. And they called 911 and they got the ambulance to come. But while the ambulance was coming, I started just pouring blood, like literally so bad. So when the EMTs got there, they looked at me and I was like just wearing yoga pants and a tank top. And they thought I had an aortic rupture and that sometimes when you have that, you can bleed vaginally. That's how the blood gets out.
Oh my God. Okay.
So we didn't know what was wrong. And I just felt like, I was like, I don't know, like something's really bad with me. Like I'm so in much, so much pain. And they're like, well, we got to get you to the hospital. Like your heart blew up basically. And the whole time it was pretty sad. My mom was on the phone with one of the EMTs too. Like, what's happening to my daughter? Like, and they're like, ma'am, like, we gotta go. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is where I go. I'm laying on my parents' entryway floor, like surrounded by blood. And then all of a sudden a baby came out and I didn't see the baby. I just saw her umbilical cords. And I was like, oh, there's my intestines. Like I'm dead. Like been a good run. So it wasn't my intestine, it wasn't umbilical cord. And from that stage, I'm a little bit blurry on it. I only remember the EMT they assigned to keep me conscious and they got us to the hospital. They did all sorts of tests and everything. And she's perfect. I literally have like the sweetest, smartest, perfect 17-month-old ever.
Oh my God. So the blood that gushed out, was that just a normal kind of pregnancy, having a baby blood? No. Okay.
So hindsight, now that like they know I was pregnant, I would have probably been like medicated to keep the baby in, you know, bed rest forever, planned C-section. It would have been like a very intense situation, I guess. I don't know. I didn't know any of the logistics of it. I didn't ever plan on having kids. That wasn't ever part of my life story.
Okay. So, do you remember when you had sex and like,
who's the father?
Hey, a one night stand. I know the father, he wants nothing to do with it, which is fine. Like it's 2020.
Yeah,
you can rock the single mom vibe. And, so I know who he is and all it, we're good now. And it's just me and her and we're just taken on the world. But it was weird. Yeah, and I'm in the hospital and they're like, and you have a baby. And I was like, what? And they're what do you want to name her? Like asking me all these questions. I was like,
as scary as it is, that must be so much better to know that you were pregnant rather than dying and having all these terrible things happen to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was, like I said, it was just strange and like bizarro. So, but I mean, yeah, I was like all by myself until my parents could get off of Hawaii and like come back to mainland.
You gave birth with the EMT there basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They were like down the hall, like getting ready to like get me on the stretcher. And I'm just like laying there. Like,
I can't even imagine.
Did you feel like your vagina was dilating?
Mm-mm. So that's the thing. Like, I didn't really feel that. And like with the contractions, I never had like contractions plural. I kind of just started like feeling really like uncomfortable, like just all over my abdomen. And then it just progressively got worse. So like, I know some people like it lets up and they have like a moment to breathe. I didn't really have any breathing moments. Mm-hmm. I literally just went from like, oh, I don't feel very good, maybe bad chicken, to like, this is the end.
Bad chicken to a 17-month-old baby. Oh my. Well, I feel like it's so crazy the way life works. Like, I can't imagine being your parents and just getting that call. Like, I think I'm dying. And like, what?
Yeah.
What's crazy is all the people we've talked to thus far, like the child has been like completely healthy. And to me, I'm like, this is kind of like such a great scenario to like not have to tell everyone you're pregnant, not have to worry about like anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was not ideal. It's not ideal, but it's like, it's kind of a funny miracle.
Yeah. It was really, I mean, I was really lucky that I was like so sick. So then I was taking really good care of my body. And like, I wasn't drinking. I was like eating smoothies every day, like trying to figure out how to be like super healthy. But yeah, it's weird when you have a baby and like, I didn't have like any, the baby didn't have any clothes. When my parents landed, I was like, hey, you guys need to go buy like a car seat. Like, I need help. Like, what do you do? Like, you got nothing for a baby, but
were they really excited?
Yeah, they were pretty excited. I mean, it was really shocking for everybody. And just kind of like the trauma of like how it happened was like a lot, but they're all happy.
Oh, nice there people. She is.
Oh my god,
that was her first birthday in October. Oh. Yeah, she's a ham.
She's super cute.
We'll have to post that in our Facebook group. Wait, Viv, yeah. I have a question. Did you really like the guy?
No, I was just curious.
No, and I mean, like, it is what it is. It was literally just like a one night
thing. Were you on any birth
really
control?
Cute. I wasn't, no. Okay. But obviously there were like condoms and things, but like, no, it wasn't.
But there was a condom?
Yeah.
But it obviously broke. Yeah. This is letting us know, you know, this is education on birth control as well, because the past two callers we've had were on birth control.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
And I mean, for me, that's like, and it, I mean, like, power to people that do that all the time, mm-hmm. but that was just like, that's not a thing that I've ever done.
Yeah.
Besides one, and that shows me I'm not gonna do that again.
Oh my god, well, thank you so much. That story was intense.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Viv. We got Lauren coming up. She also has polycystic ovarian syndrome, so this doesn't seem as mind-boggling to me. So let's call Lauren.
All right,
wow, this is an amazing podcast.
Good. Wait, she's not here yet.
Oh.
Lauren.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Hey, Lauren. So I'm reading your email here, and I heard that you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, and you've had two miscarriages, so you didn't think a baby was in the cards for you and your husband. But
Correct. You
were completely wrong. Tell us about your story.
So with the polycystic ovarian syndrome, your cycles are never normal. Mm-hmm. And I've had it. I was diagnosed with it when I was 15.
Yeah. I have a friend who had it in high school, and she was her periods were all over the place. I only think she had her first period until she was like 16. So reading this, I was like, okay, this doesn't weird me out as much as the other stories may.
That's actually why my mom said, like, took me to the OBGYN like in the first place, and that's how we got diagnosed with it, because I think the first time I went 4 months without one. Mm-hmm. And so my mom's like, that's really weird, we should go. And so then they put me on birth control, and that's mm-hmm. the only way that regulated it. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have a baby if you're on birth control. So once I got married, I got off of it, and then we had the two miscarriages, and I saw a reproductive endocrinologist, and I found out that I actually have a blood clotting disorder. Mm-hmm. And so I can never be on birth control ever again. But then they really just didn't think that a baby was going to happen, that they knew that I could get pregnant, but they just didn't think that I could
do it like yourself.
carry one to term.
Oh, okay.
So when I didn't get my period, I didn't think anything about it. My clothes fit the same the entire time. I was never sick, or anything like that. And I went to my parents' house on Thanksgiving, And my mom's like, you're just kind of on edge, more so than, I mean, this is just not like you. Mm-hmm. I think your hormones are out of whack. You need to see a doctor. And so I got to thinking about it. And I was like, well, what if I just took a pregnancy test? I know it's going to be negative, but let's just go ahead and rule it out. And I took it and it was positive.
Oh, my.
And I was like, okay, well, I don't feel like I have any type of symptoms. And so I called the doctor. So I took the test the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I called the Monday before Thanksgiving and they didn't have anything that week. And so I scheduled it for December 3rd. But then I woke up on December 2nd, which was a Monday, and I had bleeding. Mm-hmm. And because of my miscarriages in history, we called the doctor and they got us in.
And well, you probably figured you were miscarrying again, huh?
Right. That was our first thought.
Yeah.
Because this is how it worked with the last two. Mm-hmm. We took a test, got our hopes up, had a doctor's appointment, but before then bleeding would start. And then by the time we got in there, there would be no heartbeat when they did the ultrasound.
I'm sorry.
So yeah. Sad. It was a very like a growing experience in our marriage. And I mean, I think our marriage is stronger because of it. Mm-hmm. But then we went in, my blood pressure was through the roof. They asked if it's ever been this high, and it never has. I've always had pretty decent blood pressure. And so they took it like three or four times. And I saw a doctor, and this was a brand new doctor. I had never been to this doctor's office before. Mm-hmm. So they were new to me and I was new to them. And so they were asking all these questions. And so she said, well, let's just go ahead and get an ultrasound first before we do anything. And so we go into the ultrasound, and next thing you know, there's just a whole baby on the screen. So my husband and I were just kind of like staring at one another, and neither one of us said anything. And the ultrasound tech, you know, they don't tell you very much. And all she said was, well, usually this far along, we can't see what it is because they're not moving. There's not a lot of room. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? So she never told us anything. And so they made me get dressed. We went into the room.
You didn't know whether it had a heartbeat or anything.
Well, we got to hear it.
Oh, okay.
So we see the picture, and she's like, well, here's the heartbeat. It was really fast, really strong. Me and my husband both cried because that was the first time that's actually played out that way. And so we go back into the room, and me and him are talking. We probably had like 3 minutes that we were able to just talk to one another about it. And he's like, well, what do you think she meant that far along? About that time, the doctor came in. She goes, so you didn't know at all that you were pregnant? And I said, no, I haven't felt sick. I've worn the same clothes. She goes, okay, well, your blood pressure is really high. And for the safety of you and the baby, we think we should just admit you into the hospital and go ahead and get you started and have a baby today.
Oh, my God. So could she tell, like, how far did you look 9 months?
She told me that I was 38 weeks and 5 days. So, yes, I was almost 9 months pregnant, yes. Or over 9 months pregnant, yeah. And I just didn't know. I was like, and my response, I feel so goofy now looking back. I was like, but I'm wearing the same clothes.
Yeah, so you can't be pregnant.
That's a valid question, comment.
So, but yeah, and so my doctor's office is actually connected to the women's hospital here. And so they just wheeled me up to the third floor and they got me admitted and I had a baby.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's so exciting that you were trying and, you know, that you had a baby.
Wait, did they C-section you or induce you? Or were you already contracting?
They tried. Well, see, that's what they think happened. The bleeding was probably actually me about to go mm-hmm. into labor.
Yeah.
So because when she checked, I was already 2.5 centimeters dilated. Oh, wow. So they took me up and then they started to induce me. But once they broke my water and they hung me on like magnesium drips and they were trying to get my blood pressure down. But they said that because I had gone so long, there's no telling how long my blood pressure was high. So when they finally got it down, the baby didn't like it because he had lived in this environment where the blood pressure was higher. So after working for a little bit trying to figure out. They wanted me to do it naturally. They're like, it's just not safe anymore. So I ended up having a C-section.
Wow.
So, wow. Oh my
gosh. So yeah. Healthy baby. Yeah. So without knowing, yes. you had just a completely healthy baby.
He was little. He was 5 pounds, 8 ounces. But other than just having a little bit of a blood sugar issue, at the beginning, he was fine. We both got discharged from the hospital at the same time. We stayed, for 7 days because I ended up having, fluid around my lungs and, they diagnosed me with postpartum cardiomyopathy. Okay. So we both got discharged at the same time, which was really great.
Gave your husband 7 days to go buy clothes and a car seat and all the essentials.
Yeah. I had to make several phone calls. So I called my mom first, but she didn't answer. So then I had to call my dad, and they both work in the same hospital together in New Orleans. And I live close to Memphis, so it's 5.5 hours away. Right. And so I called my dad, and I'm like, hey, I need you to find mom and tell her what I'm about to tell you. And he's like, okay, what is it? I said, well, I'm 38 weeks and 5 days pregnant. And he goes, do what?
God.
And I said, yeah, I'm 38 weeks pregnant. He goes, that's when people have babies. Yes.
Well, that's when your daughter's going to have a baby.
I was like, yes. I said, if you'll let me finish, come like later tonight or tomorrow, you will be a grandparent. So I need you to find my mother and tell her. Wow. And so then after that phone call, I then had to call my department chair at school and say, hey, I need a sub for the rest of the semester at least because I'm having a baby. And so she actually sent out an email to the entire school that said, this is not a drill. And so by the time I got to my house on that Saturday, there was a mountain of so many things. Someone gave us a crib. Aww. There were clothes, diapers, formula, more than we've barely had to buy anything.
That's amazing.
For him at the very beginning. And I still, like, as of this week, had a teacher drop stuff off on my porch for him. So, like, it's just, like, a constant. It's a great community, like, between my school and my church and just family. Like, we were totally covered. I mean,
What town do you live in? You live around Memphis? What town?
Yes. I live in South Haven, Mississippi.
South Haven, Mississippi. Okay.
Well,
it's about 15 minutes away.
Last question. How did it feel that you went from not thinking you could get pregnant, you know, or have a baby at full term, and then here you are full term and you have a baby? It's like went from one extreme to another.
Right. It was completely surreal. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall just to see like what our faces looked like, but I don't know that I would want to change it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, prenatal care would be great. Maybe I wouldn't be having to take blood pressure medicine now and everything like that, but, I do think that I would have probably stressed myself to death. I really think that it is a blessing. And that's how I've always looked at it. Like, I just feel like, you know, God allowed me to know it when I knew it and just paved a way to be prepared for it. My parents magically made it from New Orleans to Memphis. As soon as I got brought up to recovery, they got there. So like they didn't miss anything and everything. So I just feel like everything played out the way it was supposed to. It probably took me 2 weeks to really wrap my head around the fact that I had a kid.
I'm sure. It's like,
and even now, I mean, he'll be 4 months old on Thursday, and I still look at him sometimes and just think, I just can't believe it.
This is super recent.
I would look at him and be like, who the hell are you?
I know. Oh, well, so, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's such an incredible story.
Yeah, we're super, super happy, super blessed. And the craziest thing is, you know, again, we thought we weren't going to have them. So we actually fostered at the beginning of last year. And he got put back with his parents. Mm-hmm. And we actually got pregnant with our son the week that he went back.
No way.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So, that's very, that seems like God saying hi there.
Yes. This is like an episode of This Is Us.
Yeah.
So I just feel like everything worked out. So
yeah. All right. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us and regaling us with this amazing tale.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, you guys. That was a good one. That was fun. These are very heartwarming stories.
I know. They're all good ones. Yeah. All babies are pretty good, pretty healthy.
Yeah, and they all made their parents very happy. They're happy surprises. Yeah.
Exactly. And everyone was healthy, thank God.
Yeah. So I guess
now there's a lot of like explanations that weren't super crazy. Like you're like, how did you not know? But like, I'm like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, they often don't talk about that.
Sorry, I still don't understand the placenta placement thing.
I think that if it's pushed back, it makes your stomach look smaller.
I don't even know.
No, I understand that. That makes sense. What I don't get is just how it like...
Oh, the placenta as an organ.
Happens. Yeah, it's like kind of crazy.
I don't really know either.
I think it's really weird because if you think to add, just say... 6 pounds to your stomach and not notice like an extra 6 pounds in your stomach. What was that?
The end of Tiger King?
Oh my God, it was Joe Exotic's music video. It just popped up. I've been listening to his music.
That's You know it's not him, right?
It's not him?
No.
What do you mean?
He like had a singer sing and he dubbed it over.
Yeah, like there's... Are you kidding, Lauren? There's no way it was his voice.
No way.
No one told me it wasn't, so I just thought he was good at singing.
Well, there are a lot of people who have like weird speaking voices, and then they open their mouth to sing, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on another topic, moving from not knowing you were pregnant to Naz getting a date, we have set
one
up
and the same.
Pretty much. I was trying to find a tie-in there, but I couldn't come up with it. So we came up with a show. It's called The Sutress, and Naz is our sutress, and every week we set her up with three mystery suitors, and at the end of every week, she is going to pick her favorite of those three, and that guy is going to move to the finals round. You can see her do this quarantine dating. She has a 15-minute phone call. She doesn't see them. She does not see them. They know what she looks like, but she does not know what they look like. They speak over the phone and I stream it live on my Instagram and then I put it up on Instagram on my YouTube. It's Ashley I Jared H the next day. So you guys can follow along live or, you know, the day after. Now Naz is going to make her decision on which mystery suitor she wants to take from week one into the finals. And we thought that we would. Okay, so then I think Naz, first off, we've been debating how many weeks we do this. I think she needs to do 3 weeks. She needs to meet 9 guys, and then she'll narrow it down to 3 favorites, one from each week, plus a wild card. And then she'll get a 20-minute or more conversation with those guys. And then whoever she likes at the end of the finals, she will go on a date with in real life once quarantine is over. So Naz.
Do we think 9's a good number?
9 is a perfect number.
Well, I'm just saying because you wanted to do 12. So I'm just wondering.
No, I was going to do 12 and then that might be a little bit much.
Too many. They'll all get washed out. Like,
yeah. So let's do 9.
I agree. I love 9.
Okay.
Okay. So we need to deliberate on the
3 suitors.
Yeah.
So did you see the poll results of the people who watched so far?
I have the poll results up. I have so many. Okay. So I'll just go through all my thoughts with you guys and then you guys respond. Tell me what you think. So basically, I felt like mentally it's between 1 and 3 for me right now. I'm really torn. Mm-hmm. Someone wrote in the Facebook group, which I'm actually really glad they wrote, and they were like, I think Naz like takes the lead on the conversation too much because she's an interviewer. Which, remember, I was asking you guys, and I definitely don't do that on dates because I've been on so many now. Mm-hmm. But because it's just like on Instagram Live,
you have to keep it going and not be awkward.
Yeah,
I didn't want it to be awkward, but I guess I'll try and just like embrace those awkward moments for the next ones and just be quiet. But the thing is that I felt like I got deeper with mystery guy number one mm-hmm. because of the questions that I asked, but I felt like the third guy was more fun, and it's really important for me to be with someone funny. So it's kind of really hard because the first guy, I want to know if he's funny, and the mm-hmm. second guy I want to know, or the third guy I want to know if he can get deep. And honestly, all of them were amazing. Like, you and Lauren picked like amazing guys, because I felt like all the conversations were good. Like, two was really all right. I'll read through all my notes. So one, he's like from Orange County, he's a producer, he's an Aries, which I liked because we shared like the same birthday week. He was quarantining with his family. We obviously have a lot in common. Like, he meditates, he reads books from like the same authors I do. He's a little OCD like I am. And I thought it was really cute that he says thank you to drivers during road rage.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. But it is cute.
So I really, and just so everyone knows, exclusive content, he actually texts me like the next day, and I text him. Ashley told me to text him back. I'm not allowed to talk till after the show, but I thought it was really sweet that he texts me and he mm-hmm. said that he had like a really dope combo and he didn't know what to expect. And I thought that that was so cute.
That is really
and in
cute.
My head, I was like, oh, it's number one. But then I'm like, just because I have a lot in common with someone doesn't mean that I would necessarily connect with them romantically. And then guy number two lives in LA. Like, he's an actor, was a hockey player, played in the minors, never had a broken bone. I love that he's like lived in all these different places, like Tulsa, Vancouver, Vermont. Like, he seems like very well like lived and mm-hmm. worldly. And he worked in real estate and finance. He's the one that drew animation cartoons now. And I think he sounds the hottest out of all three, uh-huh. just based on like voice, even though I get mad when people judge based off
of that's a real thing.
And then the last guy, you know, Culver City, I thought he was funny. I thought he was really interesting. I think, you know, PhD in clinical psychology is very fascinating. The Taco Bell thing was weird because I didn't know if he like liked Taco Bell or not, but I think someone wrote that it was, it's so funny. People are taking it so seriously. People are like, no. He just didn't agree with Taco Bell with KFC.
Oh my God. I thought he just, yeah, he flip-flopped, but he saved it.
He
with
didn't
that.
Understand that KFC is owned, like KFC, the yummy brands, you know, how they put them together in one building.
Yeah.
He thought that there was like some weird like matchup, and it's like, no, they're very common.
They're all Pepsi product places.
Right. So then he like joked about being out of shape, and we shared bad dates, which I think was nice, but I don't think we got to learn enough about each other. And he signed up like 2 hours before to do it. And I feel like he'd get along with my friends, and like, I don't know, just him saying the bad breath story, it was kind of funny. I feel like he doesn't take himself as seriously. And I feel like I'd want to be with someone that ordered a shirt that says Carol did it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very you.
But so I kind of want your thoughts, and then I'll tell you guys all my thoughts after you tell me yours. Because okay. You guys, I feel like, know more about these guys than I do.
Not particularly much more.
Okay. But you know what they look like. You know, like...
Yes, we know what they look like.
Their Instagram. Like, I have no idea.
Okay. I need to see suitor number one, because I don't know what he looks like. Okay, Ashley?
Okay.
Okay.
Mystery number one, you don't know what he looks like?
I do not know.
Well, do you need to look at him right now?
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, no, Lauren does. I want you guys to...
But I just want to know what his Instagram is so I can get the vibe of what he's like on Instagram. Because I know the other two. I don't know if I can tell you what their content is on Instagram.
No, you can't, but you can help me make a decision because you know me.
I thought that suitor number three
I don't think anything should be look-based.
Okay.
It's not look-based. I'm saying, like, you know more about... I'm not saying it's look-based. I'm saying, like, you could see their Instagrams and know, I don't know, more than I... You can get a little bit of more info than I can. I do feel like...
If I was going to choose a guy for you, though, I would just have chosen the guy for you. I want you to make a decision just based off the phone call and the connection you felt.
Yeah, but it's so tough in 15 minutes because I don't know if one can be funny and I don't know if three can be...
Thank you. They all have very similar Instagrams, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Suitor number three, I thought you had like it was very lighthearted and you did not get to get deep with him. And I was, and I wanted to, there to be more questions that were going to help you like decipher him a little bit easier rather than just like light Tiger King banter. But I understand that's good for the first date too.
Sure. I was going to even think about this week saying that you can't really talk about core, like,
no, quarantine. You can.
You can talk about because quarantine, it's a good, which leads to certain things.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like it's been, you've been, they've been hung up on talking about that. It's like,
it's
a
just
crutch.
An easy crutch, which is good. Okay. I think.
Well,
you
that's
need
what
it.
I'm saying. It's like, should I, that's why this is hard. It's like, I want to ask questions, but I also, like that person was saying, and I had that thought too. I obviously want someone that's going to take the lead. So maybe I'll just be quiet and let them just guide the combo more.
Okay. I'm going to give you this little bit of advice, and it's not advice. This is just my statement before you make a decision. I think there's a positive about all three of them, and all the positives are different. I think one person you're going to have the most in common with, and like probably be able to develop the best rapport with. Okay. There's one person that I know you'll be most attracted to. And then there's one person that
say it.
Well, I already told you this. So that's why I don't want to give it away.
Because they're all different. So,
but I already told you it. So then you'd automatically know which one I was referring to here.
Well, I feel like I already kind of. Yeah.
This I'm is freaking really out. This is so fun.
This is so hard, guys.
Naz, again, like, it's not life or death here, because if you make the wrong mistake, if you, like, choose wrong and you end up meeting the person in real life and you're like, oh, never mind, didn't really have that much chemistry, then you can always go back to a guy. Like, again, look at Peter Weber. He he decided on Hannah Ann, then maybe went to Maddie for a second, or wanted Maddie, then went to Hannah Ann, then went back to Maddie, and then went to Kelly.
G- oh, not G.
Then went to Kelly.
Then went to other Hannah, Hannah B.
And Hannah B is in there too.
And he's going to go down as one of the worst bachelors ever, ever. So I don't, people's feelings are invested in this. I can't be the worst first sutras.
Your gut, what does your gut say?
My gut was like, I want to hang out with three, but number one is the type of person that I really have
on paper.
Exactly. But we all know that just because someone's good on paper doesn't mean they're good in real life. Can you tell me their ages?
No, that's another thing we won't tell you.
Okay, so I think, okay, and then Ashley, we're not going to do extra phone calls with them like one more time, like at least one in three.
Again, you get a wild card week, the final week you have a wild card, so you can bring back any guy that you were torn about.
Okay, so I'm going to go with one because he texts me and he seems really sweet and like probably someone that I should like really give a decent chance to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm a wild card mystery guy number three. But I feel in my heart that I want to have sex with mystery two.
I feel it. Okay. I feel in my heart.
You know what, Naz?
I feel it.
I think that was just perfectly put.
So I'm right.
And
I'm
you basically right. Gave everyone a chance in that explanation too. So you can go back to any of them.
Okay, and we're going to release the photos at the very end.
Very
right?
end.
Wait, you can't release them until after I go on the date with the guy.
Okay, okay. That's absolutely. Very, very smart. Okay.
Because I really don't want to have, I want to have like horse blinds on and I don't want to like, want to text other guys. I want to give, you guys are putting a lot of work into this. So I want to like do it right.
Yeah. You know? So then you're not thinking, oh, my backup's really hot, you know, or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to give people a real chance that I connect with like through the phone call and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So suitor number one has been chosen.
She doesn't want a Peter Weber room.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to fuck with everyone's feelings, and I really want to connect with someone. I will say I am a little nervous that like mystery guy number one and I maybe have so much in common that we're just going to be friends, but I also don't want to put that out there because you never know.
You never know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Well, fantastic. We'll see him in week three.
It seems like, okay. So mystery man number one, I will notify today that has been taken to the finals. And
this is so crazy.
And the 90 8 other people who voted for him on the message boards will be thrilled to hear this news.
Okay, but
fuck yeah.
Okay. And then what was I going to say? Okay, so when are my next 3 dates this week?
Friday, and
then
Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we'll always reveal my next person on the next podcast. Monday.
Yeah.
We'll always reveal the person that you chose that week on the podcast that we record that following week. Yeah.
Yeah. And then everyone listening, I will try to be better at like not. It's so hard.
It's okay. I do not blame you for leaving the conversation because I would just blah, 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 to like make it not awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough because it's like there's things I want to know about them, but then I also want.
Naz, you're killing it. You're doing such a good job.
I don't know. I feel like I should have got deeper with 3 just to know, you know?
I think the only thing is if you get stuck, if you guys are like talking about something really fluffy, then like change it to non-fluff. But like, yeah. Don't.
But it's also good to know, like, I don't think you guys should guide them. I think we should just see what their instinct is, because that's the kind of person I'm going to want to end up with, is someone that like does want to not talk surface level right away. But this is a weird scenario. I would expect anyone to talk surface level in this scenario.
Yeah, definitely.
I know. All right. Well, it's been fun. We're really enjoying this. We're going to get on looking for suitors number 4, 5, and 6. If you guys have any suggestions out there, please email Lauren. It's iconettilauren@gmail.com. She is the executive casting producer.
Yes. Oh my God. New resume.
Wait, you can. Wait, should we open this up to New York?
We haven't been eliminating.
We haven't been eliminating. But everyone so far has been LA-based.
Everybody who seems worthy of the phone call has been LA-based.
It is
kind of
nice because... It is nice because it's realistic, and I want to go on a date with them.
Yeah. If they're incredible, we'll put them in there. If they're, like, New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're in New York and they're incredible, I'd like to.
Yeah.
Or anywhere.
All right, obviously. This has been so much fun.
Okay. This is the longest podcast we've ever done.
Season 2?
Wait, what? Lizzie season 2?
Wait, should we say goodbye?
Yes, we should say goodbye now.
Okay.
Everyone, we are signing off. Thank you for listening to the I Don't Get It podcast, and follow the I Don't Get It Facebook group, and listen to The Sutress on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday
at 10 Eastern time, live stream on my Instagram Live.
Ashley I. Kennedy.
And available on my YouTube the next day it's Ashley I. Jared H. on YouTube.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I Don't Get It
podcast.